Welcome to the MUFG FX Weekly podcast with Derek Halpiny, Head of Research, Global Markets EMEA and International Securities. It's Tuesday, 21st April 2020, and we're publishing this podcast on MUFGEMEA.com, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher and Spotify. So things are slowly seeming to get better, Derek, in certain markets. What can you tell us about that?
Yeah, the financial markets are still relatively buoyant. There is some concern right now today in relation to what's happening in the oil markets and the plunge in the front contract to minus nearly $40 is indicative of the oversupply that we have at the moment and the problems with storage, and that's spooking the market. But generally, you know, sentiment is still reasonably positive, and while we had that incredible drop in crude, it didn't really reverberate into broader assets in financial markets. And I think that's a reflection of the continued hope that the COVID data is showing a turn that kind of backs up the reversal of lockdowns going forward. And that obviously being reinforced by President Trump's open push for states to reopen their economies. And the data generally backs that up, although the US and the UK is still showing what I would describe as a plateauing of new cases and deaths. You know, the very, like the recent data, like yesterday, for example, in the UK, we had a notable drop in the death rate, which was great. But unfortunately, a lot of the weekend data does show this drop and then it picks up again. So we need to see the data over the next day or two to see whether that trend is confirmed or not. So we're still quite elevated, but the markets are still giving enough credence to that as an indication of a decline to come. So for now, the markets remain optimistic. One concern we've been highlighting to clients is the fact that while that's the case in developed economies, Europe and the United States, you know, there is clear escalation in cases in the emerging market space. And I think this is relevant, especially following the IMF meetings last week, where while there were steps taken to support emerging market economies going forward, World Bank finance over the next 15 months of $140 billion, a short-term dollar liquidity line set up by the IMF and some other debt relief from the G20. The IMF is still stating that the emerging market countries are going to need up to $2.5 trillion of financing. And when you then look at the COVID data across the emerging market space, there's definitely, you know, clear evidence of an escalation. The overall figures are still relatively low in a lot of emerging market countries, but we're seeing record one-day increases of new cases across a wide spectrum of the emerging market space. Russia, for example, 6,060 new cases the day before yesterday. Pakistan, 710 new cases the day before yesterday, a record. United Arab Emirates, Saudi Arabia, Qatar in the Middle East, all showing record one-day increases in new cases. And then in India, we had over 2,000 new cases the day before yesterday, with, you know, three of the last 5 days, we've had over 1,000 new cases each day. So, you know, the figures are still relatively low, but those are fairly notable daily changes. And if those continue in terms of growth levels, compounding on the figures as they grow, we all know how quickly it can escalate. And that, for me, is certainly a risk that could start to reverberate in the financial markets over the next week or two if those trends continue. So while there's good news in the developed economies, we need to watch the emerging market space, especially given the fact that the IMF failed to convince in terms of the financial support agreed at its meetings last week.
Right. And, you know, given this, is it right to expect lockdowns to ease over the next month, Derek?
I still think we're moving in that direction. And of course, there has been some movement already. Germany this week allowing certain non-essential stores to reopen for the first time. And a plan has been outlined in relation to schools returning in early May. Other countries in Europe, Denmark, Czech Republic, you know. So reversals are beginning to take place, and that's good. But As I said the last time we spoke, Una, you know, there are two integral parts of reversing lockdowns in a credible way, and those are ensuring that the capacity in state health sectors is going in the right direction, in other words, that there's spare capacity or increased capacity, and testing being the other. On capacity, the good news is that the data today, and this could be revised, so it's not, recovery data is not particularly reliable, I'll have to acknowledge that, but the recovery figure in terms of the daily change was larger than the daily change in new cases in Spain, and that's the first time that's happened. And that's certainly good news if it's confirmed in the coming days and the data isn't revised. We still have Germany, Austria and Switzerland showing greater recoveries than changes in new cases. So that's all quite positive. But bringing it to, say, for example, the UK, we don't have recovery data, so I can't give you kind of any indication on that. But in terms of testing, you know, it's still disappointing. And I just find it very difficult to believe that we can have any kind of notable reversal in lockdowns come the next review date on the 7th of May. You know, the testing figure on a daily basis went up to 21,600 yesterday for testing on the 18th of April. But then the data confirmed yesterday for the previous day was down to 19,300. And of course, the government are expecting testing to reach 100,000 per day by the end of the month. And we're going in the wrong direction in terms of the most recent testing data released. And you know, without that capacity up and without substantial numbers being tested, it's going to be very, very difficult for the government to reverse the lockdown in any meaningful way. So we might get some, you know, token reversals come the 7th of May for the following week, beginning on the 11th. But really, in terms of anything meaningful, you know, we're talking weeks beyond that potentially if we don't get testing up. So a bit disappointing. Well, you know, we are getting some reversals of lockdowns, but it might be a little bit slower and more cautious than what the markets are currently expecting.
And if lockdowns were to ease in any way, Derek, what are your views on what that might mean for the markets?
Well, I think we're quite well priced, certainly in the equity market space, for good news in terms of a smooth rollback of lockdowns going forward with no kind of second wave of COVID hitting the major economies. So I think there's certainly scope for bad news to disrupt the current positive investor sentiment. And that's our bias at the moment in terms of the direction in the FX markets. And, you know, while listeners will be well aware that we have a longer term dollar bearish view, I think short term over the coming weeks, we would stick with the dollar, and we're expecting the dollar to strengthen over the short term, given the risks that we could get some further equity market disruption and some corrections to the downside. So we're running current trade recommendations in our FX Weekly. We've put on a new Aussie dollar short versus the US dollar. I just think the rally in Aussie dollar has overextended. We got up to 63.60, 63.70. And if we had got up to 65, 65.50, that would have been the entire COVID-19 decline reversed. And that to me is excessive. And from here, I think given what's happening in oil, although Aussie doesn't have a direct link to oil, it's obviously a commodity-based currency. And given the potential of some disruption to the current positive risk sentiment, we think given the rally that we've had in Aussie to now, that could be a currency pair that underperforms if we go back into a period of risk off. And then we continue to run dollar-yen short and Euro-Swiss short. And the sight deposit data from the Swiss National Bank yesterday indicated a slowdown potentially in intervention to halt the strength of Swiss franc. But nonetheless, over the period since the beginning of March, the sight deposit data from Switzerland indicates over 40 billion worth of Swiss franc selling in order to stop Swiss franc strength. And, you know, that can't carry on indefinitely. And I think it just underlines the kind of underlying flow of strength for the Swiss franc. And for that reason, we're continuing to run a short Euro Swiss franc position.
Okay, right. Well, thanks very much, Derek. Stay safe and have a good week, and speak to you soon.
And you. Thanks, Una. Cheers.
Thank you for listening to the MUFG FX Weekly podcast. Rate, review and subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher or Spotify, and reach out to your MUFG sales rep for any further information. Check back next week for more insights from the Global Markets Research Team.